Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, good morning. This is Stu. You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5. It's a beautiful-ish Sunday morning. It is a little bit brisk this morning. Leanna, Mike and I had an extensive conversation one time about what is brisk, what is blustery. This is brisk bordering on blustery. Brisk is when it's real sunny and cold. And blustery is when it's cloudy and windy and cold. And this is kind of somewhere in between.
Right. I'm hoping the sun will come out.
It's blistery.
Blistery?
Yeah, it's blistery. Well, speaking of Mike, I just want to let everybody know he's doing a little better. He's still in the hospital. They're going to keep him a little while longer, but he is on the upswing. But our good friends David and Tanya Garrett, who own Les Beauchamps, have set up a special GoFundMe page to help Mike handle the medical expenses with this, because as you imagine, it's not free.
Right.
And he's not been able to work all three jobs. So we're trying to get him a little help. I have shared the GoFundMe page on the Sip and Chew Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/sipandchew. You can find it. When this broadcast is done, I'll also add the link into the information on the live broadcast on Facebook. But I'm going to read for you what it says from the GoFundMe. It says, "Hi, everyone. As a lot of you know, Mike Bailey is in the hospital with COVID-19. He went into the ICU at Spring Hill Memorial on December 30th. He stayed in the ICU until January 7th, at which time he was transferred to a regular room, woohoo, where he is still undergoing treatment. It is expected that he will stay in the hospital at least another week. When released, he will have to undergo physical therapy for a while before he can return to any of his three jobs. As you can guess, the medical bills are piling up along with just the normal bills of life, rent, utilities, car, etc. Anything you can do to help Mike out would be deeply appreciated. So just hop on over there and give what you can if you can." And it's probably going to be a lot of these for a lot of people. So I realize, you know, you can't chip in and save everybody, but you save those you can and help those that you can. So we would appreciate it, and I know Mike would appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
The goal that we're going for is only $5,000, which is probably enough to cover the medical and the bills and everything. Already up to $680, and I think it just got set up yesterday.
So. Well, I just shared it on the FM Talk 106.5
Facebook
page as well.
And again, thank you to David and Tanya Garrett, who have been very good friends of this show ever since we launched. And they have a spectacular little wine bar over in Daphne that they were nice enough to let Mike and I come in and take over a couple of years ago when we were raising money to go to Beverly Hills and be quasi-celebrity servers. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great place. We had a lot of fun. We packed the place out on a Tuesday night for them. So it worked out well for everyone. And they're wonderful people. I've known them for a few years, and Mike's known them even longer than I have. Just a great couple. And thank you. So if nothing else, stop by Les Beauchamps this weekend and have a glass for Mike.
Right.
And make it a white Zinfandel.
Is that his favorite?
No.
I didn't think so. I had a feeling that was going to be the story.
Yeah. That is. He used to pick on Charlie all the time because Charlie's favorite wine was Sutter Home White Zinfandel for $2.99 a bottle. We have an important football game coming up tomorrow night.
What?
One that the Big Ten didn't think could ever happen.
Right.
And then when they saw that it was going to happen and then the money that was involved with it, they decided that they would break every rule they could to make sure they had a team make it to the championship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hold anything against Ohio State. I think anyone in Alabama or Georgia or Louisiana or Mississippi gets how those players and that coaching staff felt. We want to play. That's what we do. I understand it because in the restaurant industry, you know, they shut us down, and turns out only 3% or so of COVID contacts can be traced back to a restaurant. 3%, but they shut the industry down. So I understand how these football players felt. And I don't think Ohio State should be penalized because their conference is a bunch of jerks. And thieves. Basically, what this comes down to is they let us, the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, go out there and figure out how to do it, and then they backdoored themselves into it to make sure they got the money.
Right.
And that's all wrong. Hopefully, the boys in Crimson tomorrow night will set the college football world straight.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Set the universe straight. I have devised a special menu for those of you. This honors both combatants in the bowl game. I always like to do that with games.
Mm-hmm.
Is something for both sides. So I would say start this one off with a little original goat cream cheese from Belle Chev in Elkmont, Alabama.
Mm.
And top it with a little bacon jam that you make with Billy's bacon.
Ooh, yummy.
Yeah, and then just throw some Ritz crackers in there. And it's a game, right? So we're not doing anything fancy for our main course. We're going to do a slaw dog.
Mm-hmm.
With Konecka sausage for the dog, or Konecka has a new hot dog.
Yes.
And give that
a try. I've tried it. Very good.
Yeah. And but I'm going to top it with a Cincinnati-style chili for the folks in Ohio. And if you haven't had Cincinnati chili, it really is. It's good stuff.
What's the difference?
It's actually not chili. It is a Greek dish that looks and is close enough to chili if they just call it that. But it's usually got a little bit of dark chocolate, maybe even some cinnamon in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's delicious stuff. So I want to top my Konecka slaw dog with that, your favorite coleslaw. But the mustard, we're going to use Stadium Authentic Mustard, which is Cleveland, Ohio's favorite mustard. Mm-hmm. It's not made in Ohio. It's made across the border in Illinois, but Cleveland loves this mustard. So that's what we're going to top it with. And then for dessert, you got to serve buckeyes. And if you don't know, the buckeye is the seed or fruit or nut of the buckeye tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brown, and it has a little eye shape on it that is a light brown.
Mm-hmm.
And you can duplicate that with a peanut butter ball dipped in chocolate.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's peanut butter and chocolate. I've eaten these since I was a kid, and the dessert is called Buckeyes because it looks like the fruit tree, nut, whatever that thing is called, which, by the way, the actual nut is not edible.
Oh.
It's just pretty. So that would be my college football menu. Now, I'm going to an Alabama fan's house. I'm going to eat whatever he puts out.
Right.
Yeah, something like that. But that would be my suggestion to kind of get everybody, especially if you're going to have a mixed crowd, you know, Alabama fans and Yankees,
mm-hmm.
all Yankees. Mixed in the same room. But, that way everybody feels a little bit of home. And I used to do that at Lucky. We would theme our specials on game day Saturdays towards a big game that week. And like one of the weeks every year for Alabama LSU, we did Konecka sausage corn dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Because LSU Stadium is always referred to as smelling like corn dogs.
Right.
So we did them with Konecka sausage. For Alabama or Auburn, Georgia, we would do a Georgia dog where we'd take Konecka sausage, wrap it with Konecka bacon, deep fry it. So there's your Alabama element. Then we would do an onion marmalade that we made with a Coca-Cola syrup, Coca-Cola being from Atlanta, and topped it with some Georgia peach barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
Just a homemade barbecue sauce. So I've always liked to theme things around both teams that are in a game.
Right.
When Mississippi State came to South Alabama, we did a grilled chicken sandwich with a blueberry barbecue sauce because in Starkville, that's the big thing. They do a blueberry barbecue sauce at Mississippi State games. So I brought that in, put it on a little grilled chicken, and, you know, that way both teams kind of get something in there.
Right. Oh, that sounds good. Blueberry?
Yeah, blueberry barbecue sauce.
Can't I call say my I've version. I've never tried that.
I call my version Stew's Blue Q. Patent pending. yeah, it's it and another sauce that I do are some. I'd like to start my own line of stuff in the next year or so called Stew's Signature.
Mm-hmm.
And the front and center of the two sauces will be the Stew's Blue Q and a Java Q sauce, which is a coffee-based barbecue sauce.
Coffee-based.
Yeah. It's more like a traditional Kansas City Red style, but with that coffee mixed into it, it really gives it a depth of flavor. And I can't say that I invented that idea. I have a good friend out in San Francisco, Michelle Manfred, and her husband and I are good friends, too. She makes what she calls the definitive San Francisco-style barbecue sauce, which is called SFQ sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And she uses dark chocolate and coffee in hers. And it's just the deepest, richest, most complex barbecue sauce you've ever had. I wanted one for a dish I was working on with coffee, and I couldn't get any of hers. So this is what I came up with.
Yeah.
343-0106. This is Sippin' Chew with Mike and Stu.
Delight. When he gets drunk, start singing all night. Drinking wine, spur you to drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spur you to drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine, spur you to drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Pass that
to get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, this is Stu. Back. Mike is out again, as we spoke about earlier, battling and winning against COVID-19. I have said on the show many times, and I continue to beat it over the head, that we don't like to talk politics on this show. And I hate it when politics forces itself into our conversation. But there is one little thing that I need to address. Being as I am an employee of Rouse's Markets, a photo circulated this week of Donald Rouse and his partner at the Trump rally in Washington, D.C. This is all before the riot started. That's an important thing to designate. Mm-hmm. Donnie Rouse said that they got there early, they joined in that festivity, and then they headed on their way long before any of the trash started.
Right.
When all the trash invaded Capitol Hill and acted like trash, mm-hmm. and trashed everything. So that does not mean that Donald Rouse was involved in this simply because he was there. He was there to support a candidate outgoing. Every president that is outgoing has had a show of support on their last days in office. None of that is new. What was new was the trash showing up to try and overthrow the government. There have been walkouts with Rouse's after the picture showed up, managers walking out in Louisiana. That is their right, just as it is Donald Rouse's right to support a president.
Right.
All of that is within people's rights. Anyone who wants to boycott Rouse's, that is your right. The only thing I have to say is, as the employee of Rouse's, we don't care what Donald Rouse's political affiliations are, nor should we care. This garbage out there where people try and shame you because you work for someone whose owner's political beliefs are contrary to that other person's, man, you can get out of town with that. I don't care what Donald Rouse's political leanings are because that doesn't affect me as an employee. You have a right to protest, and I fully support that. But I need to let you know, do not protest within 6 feet of me because it will get painful regardless of what you're protesting. Your protest ends 6 feet from me, whatever you're protesting. Inside that 6 feet, you're attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, keep a good, safe distance. Protest all you want. Protest, not riot. Humans protest, animals riot.
Mm-hmm.
Humans get supported for protesting. Rabid animals get put down. Okay, that's a very important distinction to keep, that human beings do not riot for any reason. And that's all I'm going to say about this because I hate politics. It's disgusting stuff. So I'm going to move on to something that Leanna is looking forward to.
Yay!
This is the first of a segment we call Best of the Worst. Worst, W-U-R-S-T, is the German word for sausage. And what we're going to do is Leanna and Mike, when he gets back, will be blind testing, taste testing three different sausages every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will talk about them, and they will tell me their favorite. So, Leanna, I would like you to pick any of those to start with.
Okay. I'm going to pick this one, the top one.
Look on the bottom and tell me the number.
One.
Okay. All right. Now, two of these are locally made. One of them is a very popular national brand. So I just want Leanna to sit in here. She's giving in a sniff. She's giving in a sniff. She's sampling the bouquet. Now she's sampling the sausage.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't dislike that at all, do you?
Oh, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do they really make bad sausage, though?
Well, yeah. Have you had Southern-made hot dogs? Those are a sausage, and they're not really great. We don't do hot dogs very well in the South. That's why I was excited to see Kaneka come out with their own hot dog.
That's why I was just thinking the Kaneka one's good.
Yeah. And, you know, the higher-end ones like a Bryant, which I'm not sure where that's from. But they have an Angus. That one's pretty good. But for the most part, the hot dogs that we grew up here in the South are not really hot dogs. They're bologna in the shape of a wiener.
Mm-hmm.
You got two more sausages. You just keep munching on that one. Look at it.
I know.
It. But you enjoy that one? Mm-hmm. You like the spice, the flavor, the smokiness?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do.
Good. She's going to cleanse her palate now with a cracker.
All right. I'm going to turn my mic off for this.
I am very fascinated with sausage making, charcuterie and all of that, and a lot of chefs are. But we are blessed here in the Deep South. And the Deep South is pretty much the panhandle of Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, parts of Louisiana and Arkansas are what's considered the Deep South. We are blessed to have some of the finest smoked sausage in the world. So it's interesting for us to step outside of the South. You want to try? What's the number on that one, Leanna?
2.
Okay. And the sausage has exited the bowl. She's looking it over, eyeballing it, giving it a sniff.
Doesn't have a lot of smell.
Yeah, she's going in.
Mm-hmm. That's good, but I like one for more.
Okay. That's good. You said it didn't have a lot of aroma, mm-hmm. a lot of smell. Is the spice stronger, weaker?
Weaker.
A little weaker. How about the smoke flavor?
Weaker.
Weaker.
Yeah.
But not a bad sausage, like Mm-mm. you said. Yeah. You certainly wouldn't get that on a bun and get upset with it.
Oh, no. I'd like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's hard to make a bad one.
Right. We spoke with our good friend April at Firehouse talking about a sausage that she and her husband make. That is, I forget the name, but it is from Thailand. And they, you know, because you can't get it anywhere. She makes it in her house. That is one of the hottest sausages I've ever had in my life. But man, it was fantastic. She's going to try and dig the recipe up for me. Like I say, I love sausage. I don't eat it a lot because It's as simple as this, folks. The human body is not meant to consume sausage and bacon every day. As much as you may love it, there's a lot of bad stuff in it. It is a luxury item, not one you should eat daily. All right, she has taken the lid off the third one.
Mm-hmm.
She's reaching in, giving it a sniff.
Oh, it smells good, and I mm-hmm. see pepper flakes in it.
Mm-hmm. And this would be number three, sausage number three. She's going in. I did this sausage in the oven this morning, by the way. It would be better if I'd have done it in the frying pan, but I didn't want to wake Heather up.
Would she come in ready to eat?
No, she would not want me waking her up.
Mm.
She's sleeping in right now. What'd you think there?
It's good. Mm-hmm. I taste the peppery. I taste the smoke. Mm-hmm. I taste the spices, but I still like number one better.
Okay. Now that you've eaten them all, number one was tried and true original Kaneka sausage. Number two, the one with less flavor, less spice, less everything, is Hillshire Farms. And then the one you're enjoying now is Monroe sausage from up in Monroeville, which is, as you can see from a quality standpoint, stands up every bit as good as Kaneka.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different flavor because they use a different seasoning. But
right.
So this week, your best of the worst would be Kaneka Original.
Mm-hmm.
Your second best would be Monroe sausage.
Right.
And your dead last would be Hillshire Farms.
Right. Which doesn't surprise me. I do love Kaneka.
Yeah.
I try to put that in a lot of my bean recipes, like 15 bean soup and black-eyed peas.
Is that your first Monroe sausage?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It's really good.
It is good. It's very good. It's different, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of peppery.
Yeah, that one's got a good deal of black pepper in it. Now, I don't know that they have a bunch of varieties on theirs. That's the only one we get.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Kaneka has several different varieties.
Right.
And we will probably go through some of those as they apply to different categories because we're going to do a spicy sausage. I'll have to do that before Mike gets back because he's a little bit of a sissy. But we're going to do andouille 1 week. We will do some turkey sausage and just see which one is the best of those. So we're going to mix it up and try different sausages, and it'll be three different ones every week. So breakfast is taken care of. Bring a biscuit next time if you want.
Definitely.
But the whole art of this, in you know, the Hillshire Farms is a wonderful contrast because that is a more German style mm-hmm. of sausage making. And it's ground up a little more. That's the other noticeable thing is that texture is different.
Yeah.
Much
smoother.
Yeah, the Hillshire, it's a finer grind. And I find, and I think most Southerners do, because when you look at Monroe and the Connecticut, it's both a coarse ground sausage.
Mm-hmm.
There's bigger chunks of meat in there. I think that's one of the Southern elements that when the German style or Polish style, the Polska kielbasa, when they got to the South, these were the things we were looking for. We wanted a coarser grind. We mm-hmm. wanted more spice. We wanted yeah. more of that smoke flavor.
But that would be good in like a hot dog with onions and mm-hmm. bell peppers, yeah.
Yeah.
Sauteed.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, that's a fine example of a more traditional German style mm-hmm. smoked sausage. Not as much smoke. That's one of the things that's prevalent. And I find that with Polska kielbasa when I get it too. I really enjoy Polish sausage, but I would like more smoke. That's an element of where I come from.
Yes.
So I enjoy the Polish sausage for what it is. Mm-hmm. It is a Polish sausage. And it's important not to try every sausage and compare it to Konecka. Enjoy
right.
it for what it is, because there's so many different styles. There's Chinese sausage, folks. And we were talking about Thai sausage. There's a sausage I'm dying to try from Northern Africa called merguez that is made with lamb.
Uh-huh.
So when we get
lamb?
Back, we got more to talk. Yeah, a spicy lamb sausage. 343-0106 if you want to get in on
What's
the sausage
this?
Conversation.
This is juice. Uh-oh, uh-oh.
I don't like juice.
Chicken, ice cream, fish.
I like ice cream.
What's this?
This is juice.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Alright, folks. Well, there's a little fundraiser coming up, other than Mike's, that I wanted to talk to people about real quick. There's a group of bartenders here locally that have put together a special comedy night coming up. And it's here's what it is from the description. So a bunch of your favorite bartenders are gonna do some comedy. Come see it. If you pay for your entry, all that money goes to those bartenders. Support the service industry family and support local comedy. The weekly comedy open mic starts right afterwards. The performers will be, and this is my girl, this is my little niece-like person, Stormer Smith, Rodney Lee Jr., Connor Blake, Carson Taylor, Matt Charnetsky, I think I got that right, Jade Green, Roldan, one name, you know he's cool, D-Champ, and Stephen Laney. Your host for the evening is Ryan Adams, and your MC is Compton Smith. Now, I have copied all this information, with the exception of where it's going to be held. I'm going to endeavor to find that, but I've already shared this information on the Sip and Chew Facebook page, so if you want to hop on over there and check it out. If you like comedy, if you want to help support these people, because, I mean, this shutdown has hurt a lot of the people in this industry. And the reality is, if government is going to shut your industry down, the government needs to pay your bills until they open it back up, regardless of what the industry is. That's just ridiculous. And they're helping every industry but the one they shut down. So we need to help these people out as much as we can. And like I say, I'm endeavoring to find the information on it. The actual location, you think I would have included that, but maybe not. Okay. Well, we just did, for those of you who missed the previous segment, we did Best of the Worst, where Leanna tried three different sausages, blind tasting.
Yummy.
Yeah. The three sausages were Konecka Original, Monroe Original, and Hillshire Farms Smoked Sausage. And Konecka edged out Monroe, with Hillshire Farms coming in third. We're going to continue this on coming weeks, so look forward to it. I want to go back again and talk about Mike. We talked about in the first half, in case you missed it. The good folks at Le Bouchon Winery The Garretts, who own it, have set up a GoFundMe page for those of you who want to help Mike out on the medical expenses from overcoming COVID-19. Again, he is on the upswing. He's getting better. So if you get a chance, just go to GoFundMe and type in Mike Bailey and you should find it. Or you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/sipandchew. And you'll find it posted on our wall there. I'll try and tack it to the top of the page and include it into the lives. So that everyone knows, hey, Mike could use a little help from us, so let's all chip in what we can. I know I gave. I've seen other people have given. So let's keep it up, folks. Leanna, I did not eat anywhere other than my own home this week.
Nowhere?
Anywhere, yeah. Well, we did a lot of eating out the week of the holidays and everything, mm-hmm. so we just needed to calm things down. Take things a little easy.
Right.
Heather went out last night, and I'm anxious to hear about it. She came in late, and I was half asleep when she got there. So, but a good friend of ours' birthday was yesterday, and they started it off with a game of Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, I love that game.
That is a great game. Leave your politics and leave your religious views at home when you play that game.
Oh, yes.
Because it is open season. If it's funny, it's okay. It's one of those. It's like Lisa Lampanelli. Don't get offended, or Don Rickles. Don't get offended by anything they say. You knew what they were coming in.
Right.
You know, when you're playing Cards Against Humanity, nothing is out of line.
Right.
Nothing is out of the border.
And weird things will be said.
Yes. And you know, sometimes you're just left with, you know, six answers that don't fit at all.
Yeah.
So you go for the craziest one.
Of course.
It's a great game if you've never played Cards Against Humanity. It is not for children.
I went somewhere I've never ate before.
Where?
Yesterday. And I don't know why I haven't, because it's been here for forever, and I've lived here for forever, it seems. Spot of tea and had breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's been a while since I was there,
mm-hmm.
but They used to do a sandwich called Jeromeo's Hot Pastramio.
Ooh.
And it is a hot pastrami sandwich with peppers on it, mm-hmm. spicy peppers, and pepper jack cheese, mm-hmm. and like spicy mustard. Oh, that thing was great. And also one of the best Monte Cristos I've ever had.
Ooh.
And, you know, that's a...
I'll have to go back for lunch. We just had breakfast, and I had the Eggs Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
And my fiance had the Bananas Foster, and I tried a little bit of that. Oh, that was so dreamy.
Yeah, that's Bananas Foster is like what happens when banana pudding gets drunk. It is. It's one of my favorite dishes to do. It looks great when you do the presentation at the table where you flambé right there.
Yes.
It's great stuff. It's also dangerous. That's why you don't see a whole lot of flambés done at tables these days, is because you got some kid who's working on a degree in glass blowing, working as a server. You know, there's a science to that.
Yes.
So let someone skilled do it. And a lot of restaurants that still do it will have a sous chef, whose job is to go around to each table and do that, as opposed to the server doing mm-hmm. it, whether it be Bananas Foster or Cherry's Jubilee, something like that. The tableside service, making some tableside, there is a term for it. Garrick, I know you're out there, so tell me that fancy French term for the making Caesars and stuff, but that's a lost art. I would like to see a lot of that come back, and I'm hoping when we get to the other side of this COVID thing and restaurants reopen up and we're able to adjust this industry,
mm-hmm.
to, yeah, folks, it's going to cost a little more to go out and eat. You're not going to be able to eat out as much, but boy, are we going to make it special when you get there. That's what I want to see the restaurant industry turn into.
Yes.
That we're not looking worried about how many butts we put in the seat anymore.
Yeah.
That turn and burn, the philosophy that the chain restaurants forced you into. There's no money to be made in a restaurant, folks. You're not going to get rich owning a restaurant. It is the least profitable industry in America. There's no profit in it. Because of the way we let chain industries go, they're okay with 9 or 10% profit because they've got 150 units.
Right.
They can make money off of that. But you can't sustain any business on just 10% profit for very long. too many things can go wrong and eat that profit up. You look at, grocery stores. That's 50 to 60% profit on a good day, 30% on a bad day. Walmart, they're 40, 50% profit on everything that they sell. Insurance, insurance policy is like 1,500% profit on every insurance policy. Because there's nothing that goes into it. Mm-hmm. They're just getting money. Restaurants, 90% of what comes in goes out to somebody else.
Right.
You know, so we're going to have to see restaurant prices go up. But to make it worth people to still go out, we're going to have to go back to actual dining experiences. Mm-hmm. If a family wants to go in and spend 2.5-3 hours at a table, God bless them. Let's take care of them the whole time. I'd much rather do that and make $300 off of that table in 3 hours with one family than I would making $300 off that table with 20 families.
Yeah.
You know, or actually realistically probably 4 families, which is what it is now.
Yeah.
We're doing... having to do 4 times as many customers to make amount of money we should be making on the first customer.
Yeah.
So this is one of the things we can do to make it worth that extra cost that has to happen when this is over. We can't continue to make skilled labor work minimum wage. It's insane. And that's you're finding people, you know, I've stepped away from the kitchen. Chris Sherrill stepped away from the kitchen. I can go down a list of some of the best chefs in the area that have stepped away from the kitchen because there's no quality of life. You don't get to see your family. There's no money in the bank when you get done. You know, and that's got to change if we want to continue to have the incredible restaurant scene that America has now. I mean, we've passed France. Paris has nothing on the United States. They're way down the list. Italy, they're looking at us and trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. We have Spain surpassed them 10 or 15 years ago. So did Ireland. And you know what has been the downfall of the French and Italian food?
What?
Supermarkets.
Oh.
People don't go to the bakery to get their bread like they used to.
Yeah.
Then go to the butcher to get their meat. And then go to a pastiere and get a dessert. Now they're going to Costco.
Right.
You know, and the result is the same thing that we've had here is people have learned to settle for a poor quality of food. And Heather and I joke about that all the time. The only time just about that I ever use the microwave is for popcorn. You know, other than that, the device doesn't generally help me on a day-to-day basis because I don't eat a lot of frozen dinners or anything like that. She loves the microwave. It's one of her favorite things. And I told her what I dislike about the microwave is it has made people settle for bad texture in their food. Because you can heat something up in the microwave. There's a lot of good stuff you can do with it, but you lose your texture.
Yeah.
You can do bacon in the microwave. It is not as good as doing it in a pan or in a regular oven.
Right.
You know, but you can do it. You could scramble eggs in a microwave, and they'll be fine. But they're not as good as doing them. Scratch cooking's always going to be better. Convenience food is always going to be poor quality. Mm-hmm. That's just, it's the give and take of things. A friend of mine, a brilliant man, we lost him about a year ago. His name was Al Pipkins, had a great saying, life is a series of trade-offs. If you want this big, better, badder thing, then this thing over here is going to have to be the cheap one or the crappy one. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you want a trade-off, you want more reliability, okay? Well, you're going to have to spend more money on something that's reliable and not the bells and whistles. He was a brilliant man, but I've always cherished that one little word that he gave me, which was, life is a series of trade-offs. You can't have everything.
Right.
And I think he came up with that to remind himself. 343-0106, we have one more segment left, folks.
Like smoky sauce, but over there in old Memphis, dry rub ribbons, boss. The folks down in Georgia, they can't pick up their mind. You can give it to them sweet or spicy, and they'll say that tastes all right. And you might think the South Carolina.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And this is Stu. You're back. You're listening to the final segment of Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. I am checking back to see if Garrick has given me that fancy French word. Oh, he's thinking about it, maybe. But basically it means tableside service. I've been trying to find it. I want to say it starts with an R, but I can't be sure. You can't trust me. I didn't go to no fancy cooking school. I learned in the kitchens.
But I do like the idea of being entertained at dinner, mm-hmm. you know, with, I've had guacamole made.
Right. Fuego side. Does that.
Yeah. And I've never had banana swast or anything set on fire. I would love that, but I'd probably make a mess.
Yeah.
I'd be wanting to light it. Let me light it.
Let the professionals do their job, Leanna. Just because you're a pyro.
Right.
And, boy, I had another point to make on sausage, and I just totally lost it. Those of you that missed it, Leanna got to try 3 different kinds of smoked sausage this morning. Once again, I want to talk about going to our page and looking for the GoFundMe page to help Mike out with the medical expenses for COVID-19. Folks, give if you can. I know he would appreciate it. And we look forward to getting him back on his feet. It's probably going to be another week before he's on. And I may try and swing us a guest host next week.
Okay.
I got somebody up in the north end of the state that I think might be able to do the whole show with us.
Ooh.
But just got to get it confirmed. Got everything locked down. Folks, there are a number of things that you can do to help out people in the restaurant industry. But the easiest thing to do is to go eat.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about it earlier. There's a nice article. I have shared it to our Facebook page, and I'll try and reshare it, from a restaurateur in California who is just, you know, he's walking around the Trader Joe's there where everyone's walking around. Maybe they got a mask. Maybe they don't. He said the best they do to sanitize anything is they spray what is probably just water on the handle of a cart, and everyone invades the 6 feet all they want. He said, why are these grocery stores open? He said, you know, why is this retail outlet open, but my restaurant isn't? He said, right. When they do the trace contacting, people aren't getting sick from restaurants and bars. They're getting sick from everywhere else.
And that's what always confused me, because restaurants go through such lengths, even before COVID, to stay clean and stay sanitized.
Yeah, and what restaurants have to do is they have to sanitize the table, the chairs. You know, they're having to blow money on one-time use utensils and cups and stuff like that, because that's the recommendation. But that stuff is incredibly expensive.
Right. And I'm sure it's gotten more expensive since it's in such demand.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you've got big, heavy-handed corporations that will come in and go into the suppliers in a location and wipe out all of their supply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now, you know, restaurants can't get it because Walmart walked into the local paper company and bought up every single paper towel in the building. Now, that is an issue with the paper companies. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're letting down all of your regular clients because you had a chance to have someone walk you in, write you a check, walk, empty out the warehouse, and now you get 3 paydays off. That's shame on you. Let them buy some, but you keep all your restaurants and your local people who have been faithful to you all this time buying from you when they could have been going to Sam's Club or Costco and buying their paper goods. And you're going to turn around and sell it to these big corporations so that you can have, you know, nothing else to do. So let's, you know, it's just like with the hoarding.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know what? That's not anything other than that's on the businesses. You know, and I see it that there are people like, I don't care if one person comes in and buys all the toilet paper. I make the same amount of money. Well, you've just let down all of the rest of your customers.
Right.
So
it cost you in loyalty.
Oh, yeah. And that was one of the things Rouse's was able to do when this first hit, was they had contracts with smaller paper producers instead of the big ones that the box stores use. They never ran out of anything. They always had different brands, stuff you'd never heard of before, but their shelves were never empty of paper towels or toilet paper.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they didn't let people come in and get 3 baskets worth of toilet paper, which the big box stores did and should not have done.
Right.
Yeah. There's been a lot of people getting rich off of this. Some of them by innovation. Mayor Mike Dowell was testing out this new hand cleaner. You put it on and you're good for like 7 hours, something like that. There's nothing. Once you put it on, there's nothing you can contract that touches your hands for like 6 or 7 hours. It doesn't wash off. And that's a game changer.
Right.
You know, I'm all for people that come up with stuff like that, getting wealthy off their innovation. Mm-hmm. That's what America's about. You getting rich because you're squeezing people? Mm-mm. We have problems with that.
Right.
Yeah. That's the kind of problem to get you thumped behind the ear by my mama. Tell you that right there.
Well, I've made more of an effort to shop more local since all of this has happened.
Right.
Because when you shop local, your money stays local.
Exactly. Yeah. The figures on it are, even if it's a locally owned franchise, it's no different than if it's just a big corporation from out of town that comes in. 70 cents out of every dollar you spend leaves Mobile forever.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy at a local restaurant, 70 cents out of every dollar you spend stays in the local economy.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not hating on especially the delivery of stuff. Amazon, this country survived this because Amazon exists. They should get a pat on the back, and Walmart as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got people the stuff they needed to their homes without them having to go out and risk infection or contact with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are people out there that are just upset that Bezos is getting filthy rich off of this, but he's getting everything what they need. He's earning his money.
Right.
You know. So, thank God for Amazon. Thank God for Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Everything, like I said earlier, life is a series of ups and downs.
Yep.
You know, it's a series of trade-offs. Well, you want all of this stuff delivered without contact, somebody's going to get rich off of it. That's the nature of things. And from what I can tell, Bezos gives a lot of that back. Well, it's not like he's hoarding everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm sitting here. Garrick sent me something on the tableside service. It is associated with fine dining and allows the guests to watch the preparation of food they will eat. But, I want to see more of that. And a Caesar dressing, a true Caesar dressing, is only made tableside. When you get it. If it's not made tableside, it is just a Caesar flavored dressing. But the whole real Caesar salad, the dressing should be made tableside while you wait, while you watch. And Crepe Suzette pops up here. Bananas Foster, of course, is on there. I talked about Cherry's Jubilee. All mm-hmm. of these things. Bring these back. Make it worth the extra money that people are going to be paying. And they don't mind. They don't have to go. Okay, because honestly, I'd rather go to a meal that lasts a couple of hours and be entertained by all of this stuff mm-hmm. than I would to grab something through a drive-through and then go to a movie theater where I'm packed into a sardine can with a bunch of people who have no manners eating $47 popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, the movie industry, they need to realize theater-wise, unless you step up the experience, you're a dinosaur. You're the newspaper industry. You're not needed anymore.
Right.
You know, so that's what we need to do in the restaurants. We need to make it worth the extra time mm-hmm. and the extra investment. Dining out used to be not something you did every day. It was something you did for special occasions. You get a good bonus check at somebody's birthday. It should be a special event, and it needs to be special again. And that's on us as well. We need to make it special. Folks, take care of your servers. Take care of each other. And above all, provolone.
Provolone.
From way out in the west, I get so tired of working all day.